שלום לכם, אתם מצטרפים אלינו.
Hello, you're joining us to a series of conversations with Dr. Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. I just want to explain the situation in which we are on the series of these conversations. We want to create a situation similar to imitate a situation where Rav Lightman, Dr. Lightman gives a lesson to people in any place, any country, in any organization, where we sit people down to the study bench and give them things that they can study that can help them in the new world. Join us, and for sure we'll have something to learn from this. Now I'd like to speak a bit about the reciprocity we have in nature, in the particular life of each and everyone, how we're interdependent, and how the whole of nature is behaving as a single mechanism. In our language, it's called arvut. What does arvut mean? That we suppose are investigating, we're researching the whole universe, then we see that all of the systems are interconnected, interdependent. The planets are reviving the sun. And most of them have additional such that revive around them. A tremendous system that no matter how much we research it, we see that they are in reciprocal motion, interdependent, to an extent that we see that the moon that's above Earth influences everything that we have on Earth. Also, our health, our feeling, how the water in the oceans moves, and many more changes. The sun, of course, it influences us. The smallest explosion on the sun, we feel it. We say that there is even such phenomenon that endanger Earth, that it can reach a state where it can burn us all together. Of course, it influences our electronical systems and the way Earth is on the inside. We're actually living on a globe in which on the inside there is fire burning inside. Everything is in a very subtle balance. The biologists and the zoologists and the botanists, they tell us that in order to create this kind of life that we have here on Earth, we have really achieved very unique conditions that we don't see such in the universe. We did not discover such yet, and it's very doubtful that we will. Very unique conditions for the creation of life. Because the conditions for the development of this life of ours demand for many conditions to behave and together in mutuality, the gravity and the amount of water and different other conditions, pressures, heat, and so on, that, of course, from all this, we get a certain tremendous formula that if we only keep it precisely, we will be able to reach conditions in which life can be created. We hear the news bulletin, and at the end of the news bulletin, usually we're told about the climate. What is expected to be tomorrow or in the upcoming days, usually for a week ahead, we can calculate what's going to happen with weather and so on, but no more than that. Why? Because that we're told about tomorrow or the day after, what's the prediction, the heat, moist, rain or not, winds and so on. We get only a summary, and were you to see the formulas according to which all of the scientists, the experts, the climate experts operate. These are tremendous formulas, and necessarily because of the tremendous equipment with big computers that they use, so they can calculate what's going on, and then they have to calculate the climate all over Earth. Where is it coming from? How will it be? In short, the connection between the bits of information is so tremendous, profound, rich, that just to calculate the heat for the next day or wind or the height of the waves or things that we have to know, because we're no longer simply just in one place, because we send ships, airplanes, we have to plan these things for all of our goals and purposes. So we see how really these things speak about a tremendous connection between the still, which influences the vegetative, that influences the living level, that influences man, and the other way around, how man influences all of these things. Our life depends on the still. We live from the soil. Everything comes from the soil, from the ground, and we depend on the vegetative. That's our agriculture, and also the living, because we're alive. That's the food. Without the food, we can't survive. And we also can't sustain ourselves, but in human society where everyone operates and performs a certain role in society, and according to his role, he fills his place, and so we advance. And as much as we advance throughout history, we see that we were becoming an ever more complex humanity, society, where today we make transactions, pass money from continent to continent, from bank to bank, send ships with different cargo, and even the what I'm wearing, if I'll check what I'm wearing, then it's possible to say that there is no country that is not a part of creating this and the raw materials and sewing and selling and everything together. It only tells us about how we're interconnected, interdependent. And this interdependency is something that we're used to. We're accustomed to it. We understand that this is how it is, only that this interdependence is still very much has to do with commerce, trade, and not something emotional. And this is what's happening lately in history, that we see that the connection between us has reached such dimensions that it demands a greater participation, much more tighter participation of ours, to an extent that if something happens in one country, then it influences all other countries. It's not in vain that today we see that suddenly there are countries that can come to some a certain country and to determine things there, up to changing the regime and demanding for things to be one way or another, as if there's no independent country. We see that suppose there are riots in Syria, then different countries from all over the world come and say, how can you kill your citizens there and what's going on with you? And the Syrian leader can't tell them anything, as if it's not his country and it's not he who's boss over there. It's as if it's clear to us that this interdependence obligates all of us together. And we see that we're so interconnected that we already need different international mechanisms without which we can't exist. If we want to be in commerce, in science, in culture, if we want to exist in a good way, we have to develop culture, education, an approach to life that's very similar to each other. Lately, in the past few dozens of years, tourism has greatly developed, and we travel from country to country, and we see throughout these tens of years how these countries are becoming close to one another according to how people live, according to how they understand things. We're all nourished by the news networks, television networks. For 20 years, we're in a virtual connection now on the internet. To such an extent that soon we will also be able to connect with each other so that we won't feel any difference in language, because there'll be such machines that will translate really automatically between us. And even someone who doesn't have, doesn't understand English being the international language, he'll be able to be connected with everyone. We learn, according to our research, that we're so interconnected today that even the simplest person, through four people, knows any person in the world. To such an extent are we close to one another, as if we're holding each other by the hand. We learn that any country that does something, it can't do something beneath it, even under its own soil, because by this it can change the innerness of earth, and it can influence not only itself and its neighbors, but also other places. We have reached agreements of fishing and other things by which we can harm each other, and everyone has a certain quantity that he can emit to the ozone and so on. We start feeling that we are on one earth, which is the home for all of us, and we're all interconnected, interdependent on this ball, and we can't do what we feel like. Unfortunately, we're still in an egoistic development when we're not really, when we don't really feel yet that we're interconnected. Even space, that we send our spacecrafts to, we see that we've created there some kind of disorder, and there are smaller or bigger chunks floating around, and different particles from all that was sent from Earth. And sometimes we hear that if there's a malfunction, it could fall on any one of us from above, and who knows when and on whom. We've also seen unpleasant phenomenon that suppose a volcano explodes in Ireland, in Iceland, and from there it influences the whole of Europe down to Siberia. And so that airports are closing, and it extremely influences, suppose a tsunami that hit the nuclear power station in Japan, how it influenced the entire world, also in terms of everyone starting to think, is it preferable or not for them to build or stop the development of nuclear power stations, and so on. We see that no country can build its attitude, its politics, neither internal nor external, if it does not take dozens, even hundreds of other factors, international factors, into consideration. And any notion has to be, you have to take the whole world into consideration, even the strong, the leading, that could make, that can take no one into calculation, they have to. It's not because they're powerful, but because we're interdependent. And who knows how the smallest notion, the smallest change in a certain country influences the others. Meaning, from day to day, we really feel ourselves in a world that is more and more both sophisticated, complicated, and also interdependent. And so we're talking about a law that encompasses us all, holds us all together, and this law is called the mutual guarantee, mutual responsibility. And if we're talking about this law of mutual guarantee, that as if has to do with countries, international companies, societies, and the broad international massive behavior, does it somehow influence the simple person? And we see that it does from year to year. We feel it ever more that if in Europe or in America suddenly there is some kind of a tiniest malfunction in some bank, then suddenly we feel it in all countries, and suppose especially in China, that manufactures and produces its things and sends or sells to America, exports to America, and then they have a problem, and that influences half the world, and so on. Meaning, especially commerce, finances, that it has interconnected us such that we feel these things as basic things for our existence, because our food, our clothing, our heat depends on it, the international drug industry. Today, there is no single country that provides for all of its needs by itself. 100 years ago, every country almost provided for all of its needs itself. It started with the English conquering India. And then they have decided that it is easier for them to even bring vegetables and fruits from India instead of doing it themselves. And then instead of that, they developed industry. And from there, they also the Suez Canal opened. They brought their food from there and so on. Meaning people started understanding that the specialization, meaning that creating for him and him and him and producing and so on, it's beneficial. It started with everything being created in one factory, starting with nut and up to the entire machine with its motor and the electrical part, everything together in one factory. And even electricity was created in that same factory in some small machines. And so all of the processes were in one place. And then they went to isolate these things. Someone made the nuts, someone made the screws, someone made something else, and so on and so forth. And today, if some factory creates cars, makes cars, then they're supplied from thousands of places, and even different countries participate on this. And lately, even more, because the Japanese, instead of building the car industry, suppose, why they provided for Europe or America, so they already build it. They build their factories in Europe or in South America, where the market is, and they manage it from afar. Not even manage. They put their both the workers and the managers, they're local, and it's only called that as if it's Japanese. Sorry, not the Americans, the Japanese. And there's a great mixture with all the things that we sometimes can't discern. Usually we can't discern who and what. Suddenly in the middle of a country, their factories that belong to another country, and fuel stations, and a part of everything, 30%, 50%, and so on. Already foreign bosses take over or become partners, and that's how it is common all over the world in the governments. They don't stand in the way of this because they benefit more. And the people, they get work, and everyone enjoys it. And this is what we saw, thought that it will develop ever more. And when the developed countries finished developing themselves, then they started developing the other countries, the third world countries, Africa, Asia, and they went there in order to make their factories and everything, and then in order to make a factory, you have to teach the people. So schools opened, they started getting people from there, accepting people to study in their universities and so on, and then the world really became on the level of life, education, culture, science, very interconnected. And to a point where the Americans, they're laughing about it, that if they want to know something from New York to Boston, they want to connect between New York and Boston, it goes through India, where people sit there, answer the phones, and connect them and so on. Meaning these lines, they connect us to such an extent that we don't consider neither distance, nor countries, nor continents, and so on. If we get deeper into it, we see that the whole of Earth is simply in a tremendous, various, multi-layered network of connections. And it is impossible to build or do something today if you don't know, if you don't get the suitable equipment from all over the world and the knowledge and the people. And that's how it's built. That's how the world's built. And this thing developed this way for the past 100 years. And we have reached a state where suddenly this network of connections no longer works. And it doesn't work. It has many reasons, as if that the sages and the professions like sociology, politology, finance, economics, maybe they all have different excuses, but eventually the excuse is one and simple, that we have reached such a connection between us that this connection demands between us a more deeper connection, a more inner connection, that in order to keep our development going, we have to come to some kind of a tighter connection. We have to understand and acknowledge the mutual guarantee that we're interdependent, that we're all living on one earth, that we're all on one planet, and we have no choice. We have to feel as if we're in one family, like in one family. Our development has reached such levels that we sent whatever we produce and manufacture, machines, food, and so on. We sent it to each other in commerce up to the point where we started having mutual productions. We have a mutual bank, an international bank, and so on. The stock exchange conjoined. I can be in commerce on the Tokyo Exchange, and then in Germany there, and in Moscow, and New York, and so on. And it doesn't matter to me where and what, because it's actually the same everywhere. And I only see where is it beneficial and where isn't it. But the money is even in one place, only that the banks send their messages to each other through email, and it's enough. We don't even see where is it. We think that under that money or against that money there are gold coins or something, but it doesn't matter where it is. It could be in some third country, which is like a haven for all of the rich countries or something like that, for all of the riches and so on. And I said that lately we feel that the connection between us can't continue. We see this especially in Europe, because on the one hand it's a developed place, on the other hand it's the most disputed place, separated place, and we see how the separation between them, the lack of inner compatibility, the understanding, the feeling that they're united, that they're a part of one system, stops all of these countries of the common market, where the common market is not enough. Here you have to unite all of these countries by much tighter connections. And there is a hardship about this. And the hardship is that we have to be close to each other in our, according to our spirit, according to the understanding things. Meaning we have to educate the people. The Europeans, suppose, there are 30 countries, say, that the inner dependence between them is necessary. Obviously that's how it is, only the problem is that the people who are the decision makers, the politicians, people from the different, from the working class and so on, maybe in their mind they understand, but they still aren't ready to give up their nationality, their independence, as if. But we don't understand that a person doesn't have to change. He doesn't have to change his behavior, his habits, whatever has to do with culture, with the things that the people are doing, the customs. But a person has to simply transcend that in connection with others, the mutual guarantee. We're really that, even though we're different, but somehow we get along like in one family. It's true that it's not that simple. I have a mom and dad. My wife has a mom and dad, and their kids and sisters and brothers from both sides, and we also have children, boys and girls. And nevertheless, we somehow have to take each other into consideration. We're interdependent for the better and for the worse. And we're not going to change or bend one another, but we understand that in the past I met a woman that possibly she is different than I am in character, but for different calculations, for different reasons, we have decided to be together. Then in this decision of being together, we have agreed, concluded, even though that we didn't talk about it and we weren't brought up to be this way, but we understood that we're going for some kind of a mutual life, common life, where not everything's pink, and we'll have to make concessions towards each other and agree on certain things, half, third, fourth. Because we have no choice, we interconnect with one another because we want to build a family, a continuity to support one another. And this way, like this education is lacking among the young couples, how to know to get along between them despite the gap between everyone, how different we are, even though we have free choice to find the thing that's most suitable for us and we try. On animals, it's very felt. It's felt very strongly. Every animal searches for what's most compatible for it. And people, since they have a corrupted scrutinization, a distorted scrutinization, they're looking for something special, for something maybe very rare, and they don't understand that because of that, later they'll have a hard time of getting along. And the lack of knowledge and education and upbringing and understanding of living a mutual life of concessions, this brings us to a crisis in the family life, where more of half of the world's young population, they're either bachelors or not ready to get married, also don't want to bring children to this world because they see that they see the situation and so on. This is a crisis going on for years. Started about 30 years ago, but actually we also have to continue these same lines to the relations between the countries, where each one of us with respect to the neighboring countries is receiving and giving like a couple, and there too, thus we have to learn how to make concessions, how to overcome all of the differences. And this is also something that we didn't learn how to do. We didn't get it in school. We didn't learn how to do it. What was the technique of the concession making? That only in these concessions can we come to something good. But for lack of any other options, we're in such a crisis that teaches us the necessity for it. And we have great hopes for this necessity, that it will be felt so in humanity that they won't go for divorce, because divorce between countries, it's war. But we have to understand that we have no choice. We must behave and restrain. Thus, we're already building. We built a long time ago the UN as if that place where we can join together, all of us, and discuss domestic peace, meaning the peace of our world, and other organizations that are taking care of education, that are taking care of health. We have many such organizations. I was in Geneva, especially this one time, once besides the lectures and the conversations we gave there, I also visited organizations there. It's streets of international organizations, such organizations that I didn't even expect for them to exist, such an organization for frequencies. So every radio in the world and television will get a frequency of their own, not to disturb others. You need an international organization. You need an international organization for the making of drugs, so no one will stand in the way of the other. A health organization, international work, or a health organization for us to determine certain standards. So if there are ill people, maybe we can send them to other places to be healed. And for a doctor who gives that ill person a letter for him to know how to explain it to a doctor on the other side of Earth, maybe. It's a wonder. It's a wonder that we didn't film all those organizations back then. There are such organizations that even determine the flags that every country can have. So suddenly I won't create the same flag as you make, and so on. There are standards for everything, because we become so interconnected that we have to organize certain laws, like we define certain laws in a country by the parliament, how to live, how to get along. The same way today, we have to do it all over the world, and it's for tens and tens of years that these organizations exist. Without them, it would have been very hard for us. But today, we've reached a point where we needn't determine each one's place. But we have to build a common roof, and this roof has to come through a mutual understanding and feeling that all of us are like in one room, where then it is very hard for us to be together in one room if there's no connection between us, and a good kind of connection that will feel such a proximity to one another, mutual dependence, that this will necessitate me to change my attitude toward others, the understanding of this picture, that I will see it before my own eyes, how interdependent we are, how connected we are, how united we are, whether we want it or not, on different levels. Interdependence on food, education, technology, clothing, supplying, energy, water, electricity, even air. If you do something with your industry there, I have nothing to breathe. We know the Kyoto laws that were taken, how much each country is allowed to emit waste and to corrupt the atmosphere, air, and so on. I think that we have to add the variety of international organizations, what they care for us to feel through them, the connection between us. There are such that are in Paris, London, New York, but especially in Geneva. And it's very important. It gives a person a feeling about the mutual dependence that it's unbelievable. It's much worse than in a family. With a family, I can stop talking to them. I can get mad. I can disconnect for a certain time. Go take some distance. Here, it's impossible. Here, the hundreds of countries that exist in the world, they already have this kind of a mosaic, this kind of one Lego that no one can come out of it and turn himself however he wants. We try to do that, and we see that every time that someone comes in and wants to make a kind of a notion of his own, a particular notion, it doesn't work. Nevertheless, after some time, he comes back or he tries to do it only verbally but not actively, because these things in our times, it's impossible to sustain them. All of these things, and we can talk a lot about the connection between us that necessitates us lately to be connected mentally with one another in our feelings, that will start connecting between us, not by ecological laws, not in industry, not in the banking system, not in the common education or health and so on, but man himself has to come in here into a kind of a connection, and so with each and every person. And the countries correspondingly have to find a good connection with each other. The development, our development of civilization, our evolution, came from development of the still, vegetative, animate, and man. And in man, we've also developed in these, throughout these levels, up to a point where we've reached, where we became as one person, like we took on the image of one person, really called Adam, human, this image that it's possible to say this about us. And so here comes the question of, okay, so how will we do it? If we won't be able to exist without this, if really the good mutual relationship is what is demanded of or for our development now, because without this today, we can no longer correct the laws in economy, in economics, in commerce. we see that the world is in a certain kind of confusion, like a maze, lack of understanding of what's going on. Because now they're demanded to get into an emotional kind of connection, a reciprocal emotional connection. And it was never that way. Either we disregarded each other, or because we had no choice, we used to connect somehow, or we distanced ourselves, or we went further in with our economics, cultures, all of these systems and so on. We penetrate each other even more. But the countries were not demanded to be in a nice attitude towards each other. Meaning here, I'm demanded some inner psychological efforts in my attitude towards another. But this is probably what our development demands of us. This is what we feel, that without these relations, we will not be able to exist any further correctly in that small house of ours. That if we simply live together, me and other people in some place, then it's fine. We live someplace together because we have no choice. Everyone has his corner. But today, it's not simply that each one of us is in one of the four corners of the room, and suppose that in the room we have four people. But because we're so interdependent today, all the four, that without the right attitude between them, without the right relations between them, we feel a horrific life. And here we have to make domestic peace. And again, this domestic peace is called mutual guarantee. Meaning the form that we have to take on ourselves is of mutuality. Mutuality meaning such a connection that each one feels that truly his life depends on others, like soldiers in one commando, that the lives of each one depend on all the others, that if they don't guard and protect him and they don't protect and keep each other, they're all lost. We have such systems in nature. We have such systems in technology and mutual interdependence. They're called integral systems or analogical systems, where all of the parts are interconnected. And if some part falls out of there, the entire machine stops working. And so probably according to the development of human society, we have reached a state, we grew so that today we have reached such a connection. How do we correct ourselves for it to allow us a good, nice, pleasant, secure existence? Because otherwise we see that we're unemployed, we have a crisis in the family and family life, in education, in our day-to-day life. We have reached a certain state where the lack of mutual understanding became crucial. Meaning the whole humanity is as one family, only a family that is in a bad situation. And so what we recommend here is domestic peace, that is made by an external third force. When there's a problem between a couple, then comes someone wise or an expert in this profession, and he starts talking. And if it's a psychologist, many people go to psychologists. It's a fashion altogether, having a psychologist for life. And then that expert starts connecting between them. He speaks to the one, speaks to the other, speaks with both of them, has conversations between them, asks questions, gives answers, makes them talk to one another, open themselves up to each other, helps them connect, helps each one of them understand himself. Each one that will understand himself and the other one then will understand that even though he is opposite to the other, but it is worthwhile for him to give up this oppositeness, meaning he too does not bring out all that he has in himself, which is against, and is also forgiveful towards the other and makes concessions with respect to things that he doesn't like. And beyond all of these crimes, as it says, that love covers all crimes. That if we understand the mutual crimes, transgressions, we're all this way from nature. We're all egoists, lacking consideration. But if we see that we have no choice in a family, with the kids, in commerce, in our day-to-day life, with food and fresh air, good life, good secure life, then, because we have no other choice, we find this method that helps us connect with one another, a psychological method that lets tell each other more, know more about each other, know about the nature and the character of each one and the character of nations. Let's not be shy or ashamed of it, but reveal it like grown-ups, like adults, like wise people, that this is who we are, yes. And atop this, we have to build a connections. And not to suppress anyone and not to sting anyone with whatever he has. Everyone has enough of everything. Some inclinations or unpleasant qualities. But above this, we build that love covers all transgressions, that the transgressions, they're there. And then, bit by bit, gradually, through love, we start to stop seeing them. Suppose like a mother on her child. When she looks at her child, he is the best, most beautiful. She is incapable of revealing any bad or non-good things about him, because love corrupts her and she sees only good things about him and doesn't see the bad, even though there are. And with the neighbor's child, she sees the opposite, the bad half, and doesn't see the good half because she has no love toward him. But suppose the moment she'll have love toward the child of the neighbor, then she won't see anything bad in him either, only good. We see this from life. You can talk to any mother and start pointing at any characteristics or poor behavior of her child. She won't agree. She'll either completely justify that he's doing it well, correctly, or that it doesn't exist in him altogether, because she doesn't see it, really. This is what it means that love covers all transgressions. This is the mutual guarantee that we have to come to. This is how we come to it. Where because we have no choice and we start from afar, connecting between us, studying all those things that exist between us. But the study itself, to begin with, has to be in favor of building the connections of love above crimes. Meaning to begin with, we are starting with, we're going with making concessions, and then we'll reach a state where we could also connect on a mental level between us such that we will feel ourselves close. The world will be more, will be safer, calmer. We won't be afraid to send our kids on their own somewhere because everyone will care for them and we'll care this way for others. Meaning, of course, if we can imagine some good society, then of course it is a society where you keep the law of the mutual guarantee. And our nature, our nature that develops. So we see that how from day to day, from year to year, we fall into ever deeper crises. And it's not we're waiting for the financial crisis to come. What about the rest of the crises we're in? We're not dealing with them for years. There are such crises that we're in them for years and we can't handle them, like drugs, depression, ecology, education, family, everything. So it's not only a matter of economics. And so we have to understand that the general solution for all of these problems is only the lack of the right kind of connection between us that influences everything, starting with the international level down to the relations that are inside the nations and in the families. And so, knowing the system, the necessary system of connection between us that necessitates us to build good relations between us, not simply to sign agreements on paper, peace and commerce and economics, that's something necessary. It's like I made an agreement, I got married, I made an agreement with my spouse, and this agreement is really only on paper. And we do live together at home. We don't have an inner mental connection. Only so in the common area, we somehow get along. So very quickly comes up a state. We reach such a situation where we can no longer exist this way, and we have to distance in order not to bring us to a world war, to the outburst of the ego. We have to give each and every person this vision, this understanding of the connection between us, and how today we're demanded. How today this connection, this heartly connection is a basic need. The general nature where we see how well everything's organized, how everyone's interconnected, all of natural resources, all of the resources starting with great big stars and down to the smallest lice and things that you can't identify with your eye, they are all a part of the one single system. And the more we advance in our work, we discover this connection, this integrality, the reciprocity that exists. And we know that if we harm some species, then it also causes, it has thousands of implications to our life. And the same way, we have to understand that it happens the same way and even more in human society. And so our success depends only on the right kind of connection between us called the mutual arvut. So each one will feel that he is dependent on others, and for us to feel that we're all interdependent, and from this will determine new social and international laws, the relations between people at home and at work and in all the different mutual other places. And in general, every person, even if he's on his own, everyone has to care for our extended, for a vast family. We're all in all, we're all in one place, interconnected even more than people who live as a family in one apartment. This interdependence also, besides the feeling of security, prosperity, abundance, where he feels himself that there are such people around him that want to give him good. Suddenly the whole world is one family. I'm not afraid. I'm not ashamed or shy. I'm not. The whole world's mine. I breathe freely. I feel myself everywhere, on the street, at home. I fly to different places. Everywhere I feel that I am at home. And here, we have to understand that education is the main thing to reach this kind of decision and implementation gradual, that this is how we'll relate to each other, which is the most important work. And now the whole of humanity are coming into this new era that will have to perform this correction over ourselves to really be, these are parts of the image of that one man, person that we're a part of. Let's wait for the development of the integral education will help everyone see the proof from nature, from research, from life, from our development, that it will convince us to get into this education and start changing according to the different operation and activities, and this way we'll be able to reach a good, nice life. That now we are at the beginning of a new world, and the beauty about it is that a person who connects with others, he starts already feeling the world, life through others. It's like when I love my small child, I'm as if with him at school and wherever he is, and when he goes someplace, I'm as if there with him. I as if enjoy what he enjoys. I feel what he feels. And then turns out that the moment I start connecting this way with the entire world, I get an impression of the whole world. Suddenly I have this understanding, this feeling like any other person in the world, of all people in the world, how I extend my life to a point where I no longer live inside myself, but I live in them. And here I touch a kind of an eternal point in myself, the ability to feel feel a life outside of myself, to the extent to which I'm integrated with everyone in the system of mutual guarantee. So let's hope that we can come to that, and I'll be happy to hear questions about this. 1 hour minus 2 minutes. I have a few questions. You said that the key is concessions. This is one of the things. The teaching toward the mutual guarantee has to be gradual. First of all, we have to study man's psychology, then the psychology of between two friends, and then the psychology of a couple, the attitude of parents toward their children, the attitude of people to their neighbors, the attitude towards relatives, I toward my mother-in-law, and so on, those who are in a kind of a mutual criticism, and so on. And as a result, gradually reaching broader circles, the work, how I have to relate to it and be there in mutual guarantee in the nation and then in the world. Meaning here there has to be a gradual activization from the closest things that we can all understand and up to things that we are impressed by, we get experience, we become sharper in our senses and move on to further circles. Up to the point where we start studying, okay, so how can countries connect? Parliaments, rulers, and so on. Let's imagine these systems. How? And then we'll see how, when we're integrated in it, we see what kind of changes have to come to the world, because we see that all of these rulers can't bring anything. They're lacking education, education of the mutual guarantee, education of the integral systems. They don't look at the world through these glasses of the mutual guarantee. On the inside, they have to get the impression, the excitement, the understanding, to make the connection between the two up to the point where you reach love. And the love and the mutual concession, of course, has to be in between. Not how I can put into that agreement between us something that I can cheat you and so on. To begin with, you're going for a good connection. And it's clear to us from the very first point of all the agreements that we can't break them, we can't escape each other. So the whole problem on all levels is only the problem of education. The mutual arvut, it is that network of connections between us that connects us today all over the world, that was discovered now in our times, well, a few years ago. They started writing about it in the Club of Rome in the 60s. Scientists started talking about it from the beginning of the 20th century, that we're all interconnected. In this term called novosfera, and from there and up till now, there's lots of research about this. But the mutual guarantee, it is that network that was revealed and interconnects us and doesn't let us escape. And if we want to breach it, we can break through. There could break out tremendous problems that will obligate us once again to come to that kind of connection, reciprocity, mutual concessions and mutual guarantee and mutual love. If I can be told that once humanity thought about it, they wrote about it 500 years ago, different utopians thought about it 100 years ago and so on, communists, even they, members of the kibbutz, it's all true, only we have to understand. Never in history was it necessitated on behalf of our development. They were single people who saw that this is eventually essential for humanity to come, that humanity will come to this. So Thomas Mann saw it a hundred years ago, and different other communists in Russia and in the rest of the places, but these are single individuals. Never did the masses follow them because they saw it to begin with many years forward, and it seemed to them that they can realize this here and now. We're starting to talk about this here and now because this crisis, this multi-layered crisis, points at this being the thing that we're lacking, the mutual guarantee. It doesn't come to us because we want for it to happen, but it comes as something that is necessitated by nature, by our development. How do we pass a person from the level of perceiving this idea mentally to an emotional level that he can make the concession? Only through or by him seeing and feeling as a result of seeing. Many examples how He is interconnected with others, interdependent. How he has no choice. How good it is, on the other hand, to be correctly interconnected. What a connection and loss does he have. This is actually the convincing you have to make. Then we have activities that we have to operate, groups of people, different questions, games, activities, songs, to bring a person through an emotional feeling of the arvut, of the connection, and to show him what is, what isn't, very realistically. What could it cause? This is the other thing. The third thing is to use what we call a habit becomes a second nature. We already talked about it on our previous conversations, that if a person is accustomed to, becomes accustomed to take others into consideration, be connected in mutual guarantee in a small group with others because it's beneficial for him, from there he can pass it on to a broader and broader circle up to a point where he truly feels the whole world as that one circle. We have to operate, we have to work with, activate scientists that speak about it from behalf of, on behalf of nature in a very dry, healthy fashion. What's going to be they explain? Like a doctor explains, you have this and this illness, this is what's going to happen, only this remedy can help you, and this remedy is in the reach of your hand. True, it's hard, but a person will do anything in order to survive. We have to use the power of the environment that convinces a person to do anything. You can say that this is white in a place where it's really black, and if another 20 people stand with you and tell me for 20 hours that it's white, that I'll think that it's white because my brain will get a different programming suddenly. Through external persuasion, I'll start seeing that it is white. There is real proof about it, meaning the influence of environment over a person changes his foundations. All that we're used to, because we grew into it. We didn't know what's this, what's that, how is one thing, how is another. We were taught. And we simply have to understand that it's possible to teach a person anything. It's hard to erase things, and we don't do that. All in all, we correct his distortion, this egoistic deviation, distortion for him to use treating others well for his own benefit. It is eventually for the sure egoistic benefit that a person gets as a result, because how could it be any other way? He benefits everyone around him, caring for him, promising him all riches. Who would not want that? But you have to give up for that. Okay, so you have to pay for everything. But it's also not that much giving up, because the moment you start treating others in love, then you enjoy giving to others. We don't say that he has to somehow undergo frustrations, be under pressure, constantly have no choice, I'm behaving nicely to you, and it costs me plenty of efforts, and mental efforts, and internal efforts. No, we have to create such media, such external influence over a person that he'll change, and suddenly it'll become easy for him. Suddenly he starts enjoying relating nicely to you. A person is in a world in which from all sides he is treated well and he treats others well or beneficially. It all has to go from rails of basic needs necessity to rails of this is the desire. First, coercefully, and then it becomes a desire. Willingly, then it comes willingly. Earlier, you talked about a mother who has a child, and there's the neighbor's child. And you said that the moment the mother will have love for the neighbor's child, she'll see no evil in him. How do we put into my heart, into the heart of any other person, love towards someone? Habit, that's it. A habit becomes a second nature. It's persuasion through the environment. It's a good example from others. It's movies and songs and everything that influences a person. The influence of the environment. The influence of the environment can program me such that I'll be the very opposite. I'll hate my child and love the child of the neighbor. The environment can do anything. It's more powerful than my own nature. Because the environment works on the human level, and my nature lives on the animalistic level. We see how we change a person through the environment into the complete opposite. Yeah, these and those qualities, and suddenly it goes into some environment and comes out different. Meaning the influence of the environment is the most powerful of our influences. What is the summary of our lesson? The summary is that the conclusion, we came to a new era. We are standing before the necessity to change the relations between us from egoistic competition to mutual guarantee, and later on even mutual love. That, to begin with, is based on the necessity that nature introduces us with, and from that we come to mutual concessions, and then to mutual consideration. And so we have to build our system of education, explanation, so that that will influence a person for a long, long time, and groups and the environment and the people and the country and all countries together. This way, gradually, until all of us will get one kind of education. How to live in one house in a nice way. Okay, we finished for today. Thank you very much for being with us. Be with us on the next lesson. All the best. Thank you.